Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we have been discussing the book of 1 Corinthians, and this series of messages will continue for many more messages beyond this day. And we've been discussing this book because it is the clear book, and one of the clearest books, and one of the most complete books on the subject of church life. Now, when we become Christians, it is God's desire that we join a Bible-believing church, and that we study the Word of God in fellowship with other believers, and that we have a relationship with them, we work together with them, we love them dearly in the Lord, we have unity and harmony among us, and we move forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over these weekends that I've been here in Guam on this visit, and in these weeks, we visited several different churches. What a wonderful thing it is to see a body of believers loving each other, studying the Word of God together, growing together in the Lord Jesus, and moving forward in the great work of God. So this is God's will for His church. It's God's will for us as individual believers. We should not only be growing ourselves in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, but we should be working together with other believers. Now, in this church, unfortunately, there were a number of problems. And in fact, there are some 12 different problems that he discusses in this book of 1 Corinthians. And so it's one of the clearest books concerning the problems we face and how these problems spiritually are to be dealt with. And so I trust that some of you who are able to follow these messages from day to day, these are every Tuesday and Thursday, I think three times on each of those days, each message is given. But as you follow, whenever you can listen to this program, as you follow these messages, I trust that you will be examining, first of all, your own hearts, whether these problems somehow have their residence in your own life and might be causing trouble in the body of believers, or whether the body of believers to which you belong may have one or more of these problems. Few churches today, I would hope no churches today, would have all 12 problems. But many churches might have one or two of these problems that need to be dealt with in a spiritual manner so that God is pleased and the work of God can move forward to His praise and glory. Now, as we studied, we have studied a number of these problems. Verse 10 of chapter 1, verse 10 of chapter 1 down to chapter 4 and the end of chapter 4, they talked about the carnality in church relationships, the fact that there was no unity in that church. They were divided over three different personalities. Then in chapter 5, ignored immorality. Chapter 6, lawsuits of believers against each other before public judges, unsaved judges, in fact. The end of chapter 6, the problem of a holy standing before God, that there were sins being practiced in the lives of those believers, which should not have been there, and they were not living pure, holy lives. And then in chapter 7, he deals with marriage relationships. And then we have just finished the study of chapters 8, 9, and 10, where he discusses the carnal use of rights before God and how Christians can sometimes stand on their rights in a very wicked way and offend God, offend other people, and offend their own consciences. And now today, I want to begin with chapter 11. And we're going to take verses 2 to 16. In chapter 11 of the book of 1 Corinthians. And this has to do with the problem of the roles of men and women in the marriage relationship, in society, and of course, especially in the church, because he's dealing with church problems here. And this is a very important teaching, that men and women do not have the same role. Let's just take the marriage relationship. Even in the marriage relationship, their role is different. Now, their role is important. The role of husband and wife is very important, but it's not the same in a marriage relationship. And the same is true in the local church. Now, I want to clear up something again, and I think I've mentioned this one time at least before. That is that this is not Paul's words. This is the Word of God. The entire Bible is the Word of God. Sometimes women feel, well, Paul hates women. Therefore, I don't have to regard his teachings with respect. In other words, when Paul was teaching, for instance, in chapter 7, and then again in chapter 11 of the book of 1 Corinthians, that Paul is simply expressing his bitterness and his hatred of women. Let's not talk nonsense with God. I've given this warning before, and I want to repeat it again now. When you come to the Word of God, treat it for what it is. This is the Word of God. In other words, God, the Holy Spirit, told Paul what he was to write down. Paul wrote those things down very faithfully before God, and they're recorded for our use today. And so this is for our instruction. So God is not teaching us in His Word that men and women are unequal and that somehow the man is better than the woman or that the woman is inferior to the man. But rather He is teaching that they don't have the same role in the plans and purposes of God. And they're to recognize this. There are certain roles which a woman has, which a man does not have in God's plans and purposes, and a woman can be used more effectively than a man in certain areas of life. And the same is true for men. In other words, in the marriage relationship, in church relationships, men and women don't have the same role, and if they fulfill their proper role, they're going to carry out the plans and purposes of God. So, as far as the study of 1 Corinthians 7 is concerned, and 11 is concerned, where the role of men and women is discussed, and then again in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, and in many other passages, men and women are equal in value before God. And none of the teaching you find in these many passages gives men the right to feel that they're superior either to their wives or to women in the church itself, or in society. In other words, we're not superior, but we simply do not have the same role. Now let's identify the problem. And the problem is that in this church, there seemed to be the problem that some of the women in the church were assuming roles and positions that God never intended for them to have. Now it's very clear that when you come to the Word of God, when you come to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, for instance, that women are not to have the same place in the local church that a man would have. Women were not to be the pastors, they were not to be the deacons, they were not to be the leaders of the church. But nonetheless, in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, it is clearly taught that the ministries of women are very, very important to God. There's the ministry of women with other women, with children, and so forth. These ministries are very important for God. Now, we see this problem coming up in chapter 14, verses 34 and 35, where he has to warn the women that they're to keep silent in the church. Now, when he speaks of the church, he's speaking of the mixed body of believers. He's not speaking of women working with women or any such thing. But he's speaking of the mixed body of believers, that the women are not to have a prominent role in the mixed body of believers. Rather, they are to keep silent in the church. Apparently, this was a problem among them, women trying to assume the place of men in the local church there in Corinth, perhaps wanting to speak in tongues openly there, because in those days they had tongues. Today, tongues have passed away, but in those days they did have tongues. Or perhaps wanting to express their prophecies in the mixed assembly. Now, you'll notice in another passage in 1 Corinthians, it does mention that women will pray and prophesy. But apparently this was not to be in the mixed assembly. Apparently their praying and their prophesying was to be done with other women. And so it was a very important ministry that they would pray and prophesy. They would receive encouragement and encouraging words from God, from His Word and so forth, and by His Spirit in those days when they didn't have the written New Testament. And so to encourage other women, women were to have an important function. And then again, as we mentioned, we see this warning again in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 9 to 15. And apparently he was noticing this in the church, that women were to have a silent role in the mixed body of believers. They were to receive instruction. They were prohibited from preaching or having authority over men in the work of the Lord. Now remember again, this is not Paul speaking. This is God, the Holy Spirit, speaking through Paul. So you can't blame Paul for these instructions. And these instructions are equally valid for the church today, because there will be this temptation in many churches, in many areas of Guam, and in other parts of the world. There will be this temptation for women to assume roles that God does not want them to have. Now, in other places, on the positive side, he's going to deal with the value of women to God. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. We also see that women have ministries that a woman could have with other women. And I want to say, as a man, I very often will turn counseling with women over to my wife. I will never counsel a woman alone. I would always have my wife with me, but in many cases, I will turn the counseling over to her. And speaking to women's groups, my wife can do it far better than I can. She knows the heart of the women, and God uses my wife with other women. Now, you also see in Titus chapter 2, 3, and 4, that there are ministries for women, and how women can reach out to other women. But he is clear in this teaching that this does not include church leadership in the mixed body of believers, or duties in the work of God that God has designated for men alone. So I want to emphasize this truth. I may not be able to finish with this section of Scripture today, but I want to emphasize this truth. And that is that men and women are not to compete with each other. Very often this is true. If I can't do what a man does, then what does God have to do with me? No, God has important things if you'll find out what God wants you to do as a woman. In order to find out, what could I be doing? Who could I reach for the Lord Jesus? I'm not in competition with men in the church. Rather, you've given me a job to do in my home, in my family, in society, with my neighbors, with my friends, and so forth. You've given me a job to do that a man perhaps could not do as well. And the same is true in the local church. In other words, help me to reach out to women. Help me to be a good teacher of children, leading these children to the Lord, building them up in the Lord Jesus once they've trusted Christ and all. And so a woman needs to find her proper ministry before God. Now let me close with several little instructions. Let me just leave these with you. First of all, his first instruction is that the man is the leader of the woman. This is true in the marriage relationship, and it's also true in the work of the church. And a woman is to submit to this leadership. Remember, we have taught before, this is not dictatorship of the man, but rather it's leadership. Is loving, tender leadership according to the will of God. Second, a woman is to demonstrate her submission to the leadership of men. Now, in this case, they are taught by her hair covering. She has this as a symbol of the authority of a man in his leadership over her. This is chapter 11, verses 4 to 10 of 1 Corinthians. Third, at the same time, both men and women recognize their dependence on each other, and the important place that each occupies in the plan of God. In other words, I believe it's important for men to respect the women in the church and to respect the role that they have and the ministries that they have that a man might not have or could not have in the same way. So this is chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And then in verses 13 to 16, he closes this. The Corinthians are warned that they're not to be contentious about this matter, but rather they're to obey, and they're to submit in this whole matter. The men are to have their proper role, the women their proper role, and the work of God can go forward as a result. Now, I've covered this passage a little bit quickly, but I want to leave this passage with you. Verses 1 to 16, or 2 to 16, rather, of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And it's my prayer that men and women in the home and in the work of God will work harmoniously together to see the work of God go forward, each one in their proper role. And if you have any dispute, take your dispute to God Himself, because His Word is very clear concerning the role of each of them in the plan and purposes of God. May the Lord bless you, each one.